What's up, folks? Welcome to Nino's Corner.tv. I'm with Owen Benjamin. You all have probably seen this guy before. I used to follow this guy a lot. A lot of his ideas and conspiracies are right in the range where I'm at. So, Owen, you've been in a lot of comedies. You were involved in punk. You know a lot of the people behind the scenes, the Hollywood scenes, and you've kind of removed yourself from that world, right? You're kind of taking yourself out of that realm. Benjamin, Owen, thank you so much for joining me, man.
Well, thanks for having me. Yeah, a big thing changed when I had my first child, and I just looked around at where we were living, and I just knew it wasn't the right environment. And then when I got out of that area, you start seeing a lot more stuff. You have a better perspective than when you're in it.
Yeah, I you know, same thing happened with me with boxing, man. I don't even watch boxing anymore. I can't stand it. But you know, I was in that world for so long, and now that I'm removed from it, I'm seeing the world in such a different, from a different lens perspective. The second part of life involves a lot more depth, and you start seeing the facade, the illusion for what it was. And what I chased all my life was this fame and clout and notoriety. And then now I look at it and I'm like, wow, I was really, it was really pathetic in a lot of ways. You know, I've had a lot of self-discovery and reflection, but you've been around a lot of people in the entertainment world, right? And you've seen a lot of stuff. Let's just start there. You know, you talk about the wizardry behind the scenes. Let's begin there and kind of unpack it. So when you say wizardry, what are we talking about here?
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people would be surprised on how the world is really governed and how, you know, manipulation is kind of rolled out to the people. A lot of times you think of jackboots kicking in doors and stuff, but so much of it is self-governing, based on spells. And a wizard is just somebody that uses mind manipulation to get you to do something against your own will. And it's so common that's why I wrote the book, How to Slay a Wizard, is because, like, many times you think of this, like, this faraway land, you know, you think of like children's stories or something, but it's all of marketing. It's all of media. It's just the way it all kind of works. And I usually categorize somebody as a wizard when it goes against the best interest of the target, because motivation is a good thing. You know, when you use certain words, to motivate somebody or motivate yourself, towards like the good, the true, the beautiful, that's what we like to call it. But the wizard is more going after the bad, the ugly, you know, and the false.
You know, so I talk about old Hollywood a lot, right? Like it's actually been like a paradigm shift, right? We're now like in this new world where this, like, there's been a shift. Humanity, we all feel this shift. You know, there's the podcasting world has just blown up, and like I feel like that's kind of like the new Hollywood now, and you could see people selling out left and right, you know. Yep. And before, you could see like the truth seekers, the conspiracy theorists, and all the people, all we were all kind of running together. And now, you know, we see actors, you know, former actors, actresses, and everyone has a podcast now, and people are getting, you know they're selling out at like crazy rates. I know, I have a lot of friends that I know have sold out,
yeah,
that are getting paid to back Israel and do this and blah, blah, blah. Are you seeing that as well? Are you looking at this now going, wow, it's the same old song and dance. It's the same thing, just in a different arena now.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the major spells wizards use is identity titles. So that's why, although I'll do jokes about every group of people, you know, and I famously have done that, where people are like, no, you can't make fun of this group. I'm like, it's everybody or nothing. Like, I'm not a mercenary. It's like all sacred. I have to go after every identity or else I lose my jester's privilege. That being said, you can just keep changing the name of the identity, and people that have the mindset of like, oh, but the bad group, let's just say the Portuguese, you know, let's just pick a group that no one is upset about. Let's say the group is the Portuguese, and it's like, okay, the Portuguese are the bad people. That if you're not looking at the behavior, then you're going to be tricked over and over again. And what you just said about podcasting, where people talk about Hollywood and then it just shifts to quote unquote new media. And I watched that happen while I was there. and how selling out can happen in any institution. It's just when you start accepting money or accepting something to go against what you know is true, especially if it harms your own audience. I mean, that to me is crazy watching people do that, but that can happen. You know, you're selling lemonade on a lemonade stand. You know, it's like, and every layer of life, you can do that.
So you ran in a lot of circles in Hollywood. I remember you talking about that, and you were a stand-up comedian. I mean, you were on your way, bro. I mean, in a lot of ways, you did make it, right? In your own way, but you didn't go against your ideas or you have a backbone. Let's say you didn't go against your beliefs. From what I can gather, and you were in those circles of people, did they try to get you to play ball? Because I have friends like Jim Caviezel, who's a very good friend of mine, who played Jesus, the Passion of the Christ, and he wouldn't play ball with Hollywood, right? And he was an outcast. He was blackballed for a very long time. And I remember after he filmed the Passion of the Christ, they came to him with the Da Vinci Code and Brokeback Mountain, kind of like to make up for it.
Yeah, you want to play a cowboy? Come on, let's party.
You were Jesus, you know, but now you can. Yeah, don't worry. We'll make you the hammer, not the nail.
He
turned his back on Hollywood. And he's doing all these different films, Sound of Freedom, stuff like that. Were you approached in any way, or was it just kind of like getting too weird for you and you're like, man, I'm going to stand against this? Like, how did it work out for you? How did you remove yourself from that? And I know you got a lot of backlash. I know a lot of friends turned on you, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I'm in a strange career. I'm kind of like a day walker, like the ferryman on the River Styx as a stand-up comedian, because it's more like a craft. It's more like, because I spent most of my nights at the Hollywood Improv or on tour. And yeah, I mean, my picture was next to Chris Rock's at the Hollywood Improv. I was painted in the mural. I've been like a lead of a sitcom for 3 years. It's like, I was repped at CAA. I had the same agent as Hillary Clinton. It's like hilarious. But I was never like in that mega zone. And I didn't need that. Like I understand like chasing the dragon, where I had externalized authority a little bit, and I just wanted to win at certain things and have like my number go up and all that, because it helped. It was like kind of the way I identified. And then when you leave, you're like, what the hell is that? But I got to work with so many of the other people, and I got to see inside the institutions. And it's funny, there's such a malevolence there. Like, there's such an evil there, but it's like soft. It's not like there some vampire comes out and says, sign your name in blood. They're always watching your behavior and your vices and what you're willing. I think they're watching to see if you kind of hate humanity. And then you go to the next level, the next level, the next level. And fortunately, I got out without ever having to compromise my values. And because for me, it was the trans kid thing. You know, it's, there's always a line. And I was under the spell of where it was like, oh, you know, that's, you got to love women. This is about freedom for women or whatever. And that, I just never registered it. I was never a part of one. I never had to face that. So I was like, oh yeah, you know, like you're just kind of going down this lazy river. And then when they started saying that a child could be I looked at everybody else, because, you know, I did the Caitlyn Jenner was woman of the year, hasn't been a woman for a full year joke 6 years before Chappelle did. And I, you know, and I took a lot of heat, because it wasn't, you know, by the time Chappelle did it, it was like ready to go. But I did it while it was happening. I'm like, this is madness. You know, like a little kid can't make this decision. And that was back when I still thought that, you know, was fine. I was never like an activist, but I was just like, yeah, who am I to say what someone is or whatever. And then I saw that there was like a consciousness to it. Like
it was getting radicalized. It was,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was,
yeah,
an,
yeah,
agenda at play.
Yeah. It wasn't just acceptance. It was like, we want to do this to the youth. And then, you know, veil after veil started falling off. I was like, what the hell is this? And that was an intense time, but I'm very, very glad to be out of that. And to, because, you know, it was painful, but I got a farm. I started, I'm not wearing a mask for any reason. And so I have four sons and a wife. So I'm like, I'm going to have to grow my own food if I can't go to the grocery store.
Wow.
It's so we make our own cheese, have cows, alpacas, goats, chickens, a well. I'm like, they could turn off the water. and then I think it's like the devil's shit test. I think that's why God allows the devil. It's like, as soon as you show that you're not afraid and that you're willing to just kind of do the basics to get around it, it just kind of like goes away, you know?
Yeah, you start elevating. Like for me, I feel like it almost feels like I'm looking at this, like I stepped into an alternate timeline with my life. I feel like I've elevated out of that life and I still interact with some of the people there and I talk to them and they're still, like you said, chasing the dragon. You know, they're still in this like three-dimensional vibrational,
yeah,
you know, realm of just existence. And I'm like, wow, there's just, they don't see past that. They're just, it's like there's a veil over their eyes where they cannot see outside that dimension. And so what was the breaking point for you? When were you like, dude, I'm out. I'm done with this. I'm going to go on a farm.
Well, I think it was when my first son was born and I saw, you know, because I never knew what I was never into like evil or anything, but I was a little nihilistic where I'm like, I don't know what I deserve. You know, I was raised by Nirvana and Pearl Jam. Like, I don't,
yeah, me too.
You know, and I'm like, you know, I was just kind of, I just wanted to win at shit and just whatever. And then I saw this child, I saw how vulnerable my wife was, you know, where her job became so clear where it's like, she's breastfeeding my son and it just looked really good. And I'm like, I didn't know what I deserve, but that kid deserves protection. And it was like that little domino. And then I started being like, and I couldn't lie to the kid. You know, I was like, he deserves like the truth and protection. And then I looked at, and then I started seeing that like a lot of the stuff I thought made women crazy, like what were like good things, you know, like how meticulous they have to be about details and all this stuff that I used to not understand about my wife. It all was like, and then I started seeing that there was this like overall design. And that's what kind of started snapping me out of nihilism that, you know, we're all from an explosion. Our ancestors are monkeys. We're like spinning out of control in a vacuum and nothing matters. And I just see like a little kid's eye, you know? And I was like, that doesn't come from an explosion. Like that's beautiful, you know? And then from there, I just started seeing all these spells.
You know, I remember, you know, learning in school evolution. And this, first of all, I was a terrible student. I saw past, you know, I always questioned. I was always in trouble, dude. I was always doing,
yeah, me too,
kind of shenanigans. I used to psychoanalyze the teachers and be like, why are you, yeah, me too. You got, yeah, you graduated, you're coming back. It's like, what?
Yeah.
But like, you know, evolution is taught in schools, NASA. And I just always think like, okay, we came from monkeys. How come there's not lower developed, like why are there still monkeys, and if they're still here, why aren't there, you know, levels of evolution to humans? Why aren't we looking at other humans that are like almost monkeys walking around? Like why did,
yeah,
it, you know what I mean, why is it just stop at the, why is there just monkeys and then there's nothing else up the chain? What, there should be other evolutionary creatures that came from the monkeys up to us. Like there should be,
yeah,
we should be able to see a lineage of this shit going down to the monkey and up to us. We should see other humanoid like type people. Like, you get what I'm saying? I just,
absolutely, no, 100%. I mean, the thing that always blew my mind was when they're like, if there's even a tiny advantage for procreation, that gene, that mutation will go forward, like an eyebrow. If the sweat doesn't hit your eye while you're trying to get an ox, like you have a slight better chance. And I'm like, then why are there? And the teacher was like, what? I'm like, you guys say that you're born, it's genetic. So if your entire life is that you don't want to have sex with a woman, how the hell does that pass on?
It
made no sense. And they're like, oh yeah. And it's all about calorie consumption. And I'm like, you say that your brain uses a quarter of your calories. So if it's really easy to get food, does that make you like, and then their eyes go nuts. Cause it's a very racial thing if you think about it. And I don't even see it that way. I'm like, no, people can be smart or dumb all over the world. But that human sexual selection, Darwinian stuff, I'm like, if you actually extrapolate what they're saying, it's like really, really, it's how a farmer sees their goats. It's like eugenic. It's insanely eugenic, you know?
I know, I agree with you. And I also think, like, you know, when I go outside and I'm walking on the rocks, I'm like, well, ow, shit. Like, I'm like, there's no way that we evolved from this planet. I can't even see in the dark.
Right.
Humans are just so, like, underdeveloped for, that's just my belief. I've learned that I've left, you know, in my awakening process here, I kind of left the Bible and I went right back to it, dude.
Right.
So let's get into this. Let's get into this next phase of this. So now we know they're going to play the alien card any day. I think they're already playing it. It's on TMZ. They just sent off astronauts back to the moon, which, you know, whatever. We didn't go to the moon, but now we're going, we can't even go to lower space orbit. What's your thoughts on all this, dude? Like it's obviously a big production, right? NASA's a huge psyop. What are they trying to accomplish here? Do you think they are here to accomplish the alien card, to make us kind of get used to the fact that there's aliens, that there's extraterrestrials out there, and that we should accept them as our brothers? Do you think they're interdimensional intruders? Do you think they are the fallen, the Nephilim? What's your whole idea about all of this that's playing out right now on the big stage?
Yeah, well, my theology and my instincts would say that it's a spiritual situation, and there's demonic influence and all that. But on a utility, like what we're talking about with wizards and spells, when it's about controlling the populace, think about what it does, because the goal is cognitive dissonance, where you do the same thing with a prisoner in a camp. It's like you want to get someone to not trust their own senses, because then there's a continuity break where, you know, this is how you brainwash a prisoner. And this is, you know, what they figured out in a lot of the camps and the wars is you get somebody, it's like learned helplessness, where you get somebody to look to their master for the truth versus their own logos, their own, you know. That's what I love in the Bible, when it talks about the truth is written on your own heart, where it's like you have the tools to be able to discern. And so to say that right now we're in a vacuum and an explosion spinning faster than the speed of sound going around, you know, just spinning like a nickel.
Just chaos. Like just, it's pure just chaos, random chaos, right?
Yeah. And when you just see behind me, I mean, it's like, this is not random chaos. This is like, there's the same fractals all over nature. And so when you get someone in that position, it's really easy to push nihilism and materialism. And when you're in that zone, you're chasing the dragon versus chasing truth. And so that's what I think you get out of it. Like when they called Nixon on a phone, like they made a phone call. One of the first, and the wizards I know were doing, you know, a lot of work on that spell. Like every line mattered. And they talked about, now man has entered the realms of the heavens, and now the heavens are man's realm. It's basically like seizing control of that which isn't ours. Like the divine realm is now our realm. And then now you can travel interplanetary, and we'll have babies being born on the moon by 1980, and all these lies. And that's why, you know, they call the devil the father of lies. It's like everything's a lie, to the point where you have like absolute nonsense being told, and people view it as a religion. Like people view it, like if I just point out something obvious, like that one moon mission where they tilted up, where the rocket left the moon and the camera went like this.
Yeah.
And I might not know. I know, like I know a lot about film production. I might not know a lot about a lot of the other stuff, like engineering and combustion in a vacuum and all that. That is impossible 240,000 miles away in 1969. With a live broadcast. And then they lost all of the proof they went, and then they no longer have the technology to go back. I'm like, this is laughable, the level of lying. Like that. And so when you see that stuff, you create cognitive dissonance in people where they're like, well, that makes no sense, but I won't listen to my own instincts. And then you become like a docile slave, you know?
It's an IQ test for sure, right? Like just look, you got to have like this spiritual awareness is what I call, because a lot of people during even, you know, what happened in 2020, I don't like to say it about on FluffTube, but like, I mean, I saw a lot of people that were very smart falling for it, but it's like, there was this, you have to have this spiritual awareness about you to see through this discernment, right? These human raw instincts to just see beyond. And all of this comes down to what I believe are the, you know, who are they, right? Who are they?
Right.
It's obviously the Freemasons, right? It's the high level, real high level, 33rd degree and whatever is beyond. Vatican, you know, Masons, they're all together in this, right? They're all kind of, I guess you could say Luciferians. Is that what you would call them?
Well, the way I see it is it's a behavior, because I've obsessed about this for so long, and I just couldn't get there. 'Cause I'm like, so you have the central bankers, the Vatican, the Masons, the, you know, the what's it called? The Council on Foreign Relations. You have all these groups, the Rockefellers, all these families, the bloodlines, and I'm going to, and I just can't meet any of them. Like, I can't confirm it. So what I could confirm is a behavior, because my slogan, I like to say, is I might be wrong, but I'm not lying. And their slogan is I might be lying, but I'm not wrong. And I can see that a teller at 7-Eleven or, you know, the head of the Federal Reserve. It's like that behavior where whatever your will is right no matter what. Like, you don't have to confirm it with any objective truth. It's just your will is right. Do as thou wilt. That is they. And so then you look at what part of yourself is they, and that's when it gets horrifying, when you're like, well, why did I do that with these people? Like, what part of me wants that? And then I kind of reverse engineered it all the way back to the primal lies of, like, why would anyone want to be they? It's like God made everything we could ever ask for perfectly. Like, why do we want to be these control freaks and do these wizard spells and all that? And that's when things get really interesting, and I think people can really grow and heal, you know?
So when I see something like NASA, who is, to me, it's just a massive production, Hollywood production, PSYOP, yeah, right? And you got Artemis leaving to the moon. They're going to go 450, how far is it to the moon and back? Like 480,000 miles, something crazy like that, to there and back, right? They're not going to have to refuel one tank of rocket fuel. No, you know, they'd have to like refuel 15, 20 times on the way. Then I think, well, they're in a vacuum. How does fire even breathe in a vacuum, a propulsion system? Yeah. Okay, that doesn't even make sense. The Van Allen belt, they can't even get past that. So there's so many meteors and rocks that could hit the shuttle. I'm like, none of this even adds up. But okay, like, people are going to fall for this. They're going to go around the moon, slingshot, yeah, or whatever. And I think about this, I'm like, what is the objective here? And it is to further the deception of this, I believe, coming alien card, which I believe the aliens or these interdimensional intruders or demonic entities are masquerading as aliens. And I think this all goes back to the Bible. I mean, and that's what I think this is. And I think that there's this, I'm starting to really believe they're preparing for this end time war with God, right? I think they really believe this. That's why you see Elon Musk firing rockets left and right. Nothing's ever going up. It's always blowing up and shit. And then when you do see something, like, it looks like it's a boat skimming in water. Like, I think there's something up there. I think there's a firmament. What's your thoughts on all this? Do you think they're trying to play this out?
Bro, you're 100%. Because this is the thing, is it's like this war with God. God gave us free will, and he made it so we wouldn't want that. So that's why they need so many layers of deception to get us to do it to ourselves. And that's because people would say, how can a just God make evil in the world? Why is there evil in the world? And it's like, that's it. You have to give someone an option to fail in order to grow. And so I think you're right on the money when it comes to the alien stuff. Have you ever listened to Jerry Marzinski?
No.
There was that movie called Nefarious. Where, you ever see that movie? It's by Angel Studios, where it's like the Carpenter,
I
like
didn't
that.
Really the light of day. It was like an amazing movie.
Amazing movie.
I had the guy on my show, the actor.
That's awesome. That's kind of based on is Jerry Marzinski. He's a psychiatrist. He was a prison psychiatrist. I've had him on. You'd love him. So he wasn't even that, like, religious or anything, but he's a prison psychologist, and he's doing these interviews with schizophrenics, and he's realizing, because nobody was asking, what do the voices say? They just give him pills. And Jerry's like, so what are they saying? And he started realizing that some of the stories were matching up, and they were things that the guy couldn't know. And so he's in this prison talking to schizophrenics, and he's like, holy shit, like, demons are real, you know? And, And sometimes I think what schizophrenia is, it's almost like the radio tuner can like tune in randomly to like a different frequency.
I believe that.
Yeah, and so I think that the alien psyop is like a way to get people to accept, demons occupying people's flesh. Because if you think about stuff, like it doesn't even make sense. I can understand murder, I can understand violence, theft, I can understand all that stuff, but stuff doesn't really make any sense. Like, why would you crave that? And then you realize
Unless
that,
you
like,
want to hurt God.
right. And it also kind of, it doesn't always work. Sometimes it backfires on the demon, but it's like it opens up, like the human is like a vessel for like other forces, like the more trauma someone experiences, the more they kind of can check out. And then that's what I agree with that. And I can't prove this, but like that's what I think alien, quote unquote, aliens are. And you have to set up the environment to make that believable. And I think a lot of that is the space program.
And I agree with you on that. And I was talking to Timothy Alberino. He came on my show and he believes that it's all about how they manifest themselves. They could be an alien, they could be Bigfoot, they could be anything. It's just how you perceive them, how they want you to perceive them. So if you look at, like, the Hopi and around this area, the Southwest, a lot of tribes, a lot of the Apache and all that, they always talk about the skinwalkers or these beings that could just transform into a coyote or a fucking dog or goat, whatever. And I started thinking about this, and I'm like, maybe that's their ability, these disembodied souls. That's what they do. They need a body, and they can constantly to our, not only need a body, but they can mess with our perception on how we see them, and they can turn into whatever we want to believe they are, like a giant or an alien, a gray alien, or whatever they, if you look at Aleister Crowley, right, he was summoning these gray demons or these gray aliens, and I think they just come to however you would rather perceive them. Am I making sense? How you?
Yeah, dude. NASA was Jack Parsons that started, was one of the founders of the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, was one of Aleister Crowley's like head like priests. Like that, this is 100% what they do. And yeah, that's why I think Jesus said, don't be afraid so many times, is because I think, and this is one thing about being a comedian, I did not get into this to be a truther, but like there's so much truth in comedy where Ghostbusters, when it's like choose your destroyer, and then they choose to Stay Puft Marshmallow Man
Yeah,
to be their destroyer, like that. I think that's how it works, where it's like your inner fears can manifest. Like that's like the body things can take is like, and that's why they love trauma, because whatever you were traumatized by, you see it everywhere, and that, yeah, I think that's how it happens, and so it's kind of like the disembodied souls can go into a damaged vessel, and that's again why, the mind can,
possession.
and that's why the mind can, that's why they love mass trauma, and that's why they love the screens pumping horror and all this stuff into people, because then it makes, sometimes I think the soul just kind of, I don't think you lose your soul, I think it just kind of checks out a bit, because I've had that happen to me for like kind of like you when you were in the heat of your fighting career. Like some of it's like a blur where you're just like,
The whole thing's a blur, but I thought it was all from the punches to the
no, it's not. I like, for me it's the same shit. I'm like, dude, whole years. It's not that I don't remember. It was just I was inside this thing, like this game, just doing this thing, and it wasn't really as much me as I am now. And so I think that your soul can kind of almost like leave the cockpit a bit, and then a demon can't wait to just hop in there, you know?
So let me ask you about this here. I don't know if you're seeing this the same way I am, like right now. And I know you're a very awakened individual, and I consider myself to be as well. But there's this weird, I feel like we're going through this bottleneck of time and space right now, like where everything, there's this quickening.
Yes,
And
yes.
I'm feeling just time and space collapsing on itself. I used to watch a lot of Terrence McKenna, and I used to watch different people speak on this, and talk about how we're in this time wave zero or whatever, where time and space is going to like just collapse, where novelty will spike, which I feel like we're seeing now. But I can't help but think like everything is speeding up so fast now. Like, if you told me the time that we're living in right now, if you would have told me that this was going to happen while I was in my 40s, I would have said, nah, maybe my great, great, great grandkids.
Right.
But now this is all happening so fast. Like, it's coming to this climax, right? And then where does humanity go from there? What do you see? Are you feeling the same thing? Do you
100%, have an explanation for this? That's why I've actually been pretty happy lately, is because, like, when you used to watch me on YouTube and stuff 7-8 years ago, I was so out there compared to where most people were at that it felt like it was like frustrating. It was very frustrating. And now I think a lot, I don't feel as different. Like, I don't feel like the village crazy person like I once did. And that kind of calms me a bit. And so I'm watching as these lies will come out, and then the resolution to the lie will come out way faster. Whereas before it'd be like decades, and now it's like boom, boom. And then it's like that, it's like the golden ratio. It's a curve, you know, where it's like, it's speeding up at like this rate. And the thing about being a farmer that I find very cathartic is this is not changing. So it's like every season, like right now we're in spring and my wife and kids are planting all the seed starts and the greenhouse is getting there. And it's like, God's world is still just like, just crushing along like it always does. And the sun, like I sometimes track the sun and the stars, and it's just like totally awesome. But the world of man, like the spinning lie world, it's like wobbling and kind of like going, it's like what you said. It's like collapsing in on itself. And I find it very, I'm very grateful that I get to watch it.
Okay, so I want to bring this up and see if you agree with me. So, like, when JFK was assassinated, it took 60 years for the truth to come out, right?
Right.
And there was all these conspiracies and this and that. But we all knew deep down something happened. There was the person on the grassy knoll and more shooters, whatever. The patsy was Oswald. But, you know, it took 60 years for that to come out. Now I feel like everything's coming out instantly. Even 9/11, right? It took, like, another 10 years for people to start catching on that something happened there.
Yeah.
And then now look at Charlie Kirk, right?
Right.
Bring this up. Now we're seeing that unravel instantly. Everything about that now is just falling apart, like almost instantly. That would be a perfect example of what you just said. Everything, the truth is coming out much faster, at a faster rate now ever before, instantly. Right.
Yeah, so much faster, dude.
So, it's like, I mean, dude, if you look at TPUSA, Charlie, I don't know what your views are on that, but I'm like watching, I watch a lot of Candace and some things just to get some insight.
Yeah,
me too.
No, I'm into Candace. I like became a fan of Candace. I used to make fun of her, and I'm like, yeah. You crush on Candace.
Yes, dude. I'm the same way with her. I just see this happening now, and I'm like, wow, dude. Like, this is, it is unraveling. Like, they don't need to do anything. It's happening by itself. Like, it's,
yeah,
like,
yeah, just, yeah.
Just the nature of things are a billion times faster than they were, you know, even 10 years ago.
Yeah. And I have a bunch of friends that are such hardcore truthers that they're like, oh, it's bad on purpose. They're doing this on purpose to look. I'm like, I don't know, man. I think that whatever you consider the deep state has a playbook, and they're like trying to make it work again and again. And it's just not working. If you look at, cause my thing with Charlie Kirk was the 30-06 claim. I mean, I'm friends with a bunch of hardcore elk hunters. I hunt sometimes. I have a 30-06. Like, that hole's like that big. Like,
his head would evaporate. His neck would be evaporated, bro.
Yeah, it's a cannon. It's so loud too. It's like people that have shot an AR or something. It's nothing like that. It's like boom, you know. And so I look back, and Martin Luther King Jr. was also shot by a 30-06, and James Earl Ray apparently had like a 60 IQ. And he had just escaped from prison. He was like a petty criminal. Martin Luther King Jr.'s family always said it wasn't James Earl Ray. It was like not. And so you look at it, and the only two like major deaths I could find online with a 30-06 was Martin Luther King Jr. and Charlie Kirk. And I'm like,
wow.
And back then, you know, my parents, everybody was like, oh yeah, James Earl Ray was a racist and he killed Martin Luther King Jr. And if you like actually look at James Earl Ray, he could barely tie his shoes. He was like functionally. And they could just set up a patsy, and nobody looked into caliber, a bullet, or any of that stuff. And now it's just like bang, bang. You know, it's like, why did you destroy the crime scene like immediately? And they used to get away with that stuff.
No one. And so now, don't you feel, bro? Like, I kind of feel like now, we're living in that old trickery and deception cannot live in this paradigm. Like we are now in
yes.
a new paradigm where that stuff, they're still on that old, they're still using the old playbook, right? Of that old paradigm of trickery and deception. And people are waking up so fast now. They're like, okay, whatever. Even with this, our team is to launch. People are like, look, CGI, you know, sorry, it's not really working. It's CGI. You know, it's just like now we are in this new dimension that I feel, and things are going to be happening so much faster. And now we are now on our way to where I don't think we're going to be able to coexist with them. I think they're just going to expose themselves and they'll bring their own demise.
One hot dude. That's the best part about, well, that's why I wrote How to Slay a Wizard, is because the wizard requires you to not know how it works. As soon as you know how it works, it's just like a magic trick. Like a little kid thinks you're like pulling your thumb apart when you do this thing. And as soon as you know that I'm just bending my thumb, it's like gone. And so one of the good things about Hollywood decentralizing, where, as we talked about in the beginning, where you have the podcasters and all that, is now a ton of people understand how that manipulation works. Like just random dudes will have like, you know, InShot or Cap, whatever on their phone, and they'll be like, oh, I'll add music to make it feel different, and I'll do a smash cut, and I'll do this. That entire skill set was only known by like 200 people, you know, in Hollywood. And
right.
And a Hollywood tree is where you get wizard wands from. It's like Hollywood, like that's literally a magic thing. And so, and that's why the wizards hate when you kind of explain this stuff to them. And now they can't really ban people. I mean, I was banned from everything, including like, you know, PayPal, QuickBooks.
Me too.
Yeah. And it's like, now they can't really do it. I'm still kind of legacy banned on a few things, but like, I think that, you know, it's kind of that biblical concept of when you make a weapon, it doesn't always go the way you want it to. Like, so they make the internet and they make all these forms of manipulation, and now people can use it the opposite way and they can disseminate, you know, the antidote just as fast. And so that's why evil can't win long term, and there is this quickening happening.
It's like it's an instant looking behind the curtain, right? You don't have to go through mm-hmm. the whole, you know, yellow brick road. Now you just go like this. Oh, it's you.
100%.
You know,
The yellow brick road, that's in my book. It's like, because that is about the monetary system. You have the yellow bricks are gold, and the original was about her slippers were silver, and you could always get back to Kansas. And then, of course, the green wizard, which is the green dollar, the fiat currency, you know. And so then at the end, he just flies away on his inflation. The balloon takes him away, and they go, come back. And he goes, I can't. Yeah, he goes, I can't. I don't know how this works. And he just goes away.
Wow.
Yeah. And so follow the yellow brick world, the wizard of ounce, OZ, ounce. Oh, it's the wizard of the ounce.
Yeah. I never even looked at it that way.
And so Toto the dog, Toto means everything, and dog is God backwards, you know, just pulls the curtain back, and that's all that happens. So the wizard is just scaring you with illusions, and then the flying monkeys and all this stuff are coming at you. But if you stay out of the poppy field, you know, heroin, it's like they're trying to get there in the despair, and they want to get rid of their pain, and they start falling asleep in the poppy fields. And it's like, it's just the story of the financial system. And then once the wizard is caught, you realize that it's all externalizing authority, where it's like, you're smart because I give you a square for the top of your head. You're courageous because I'll give you a medal. And he's just a liar. And then he inflates away from his Emerald City of greenbacks.
So we're obviously now in the midst of breaking through this illusion of lies, right? Like it's just all crumbling down. It's almost like I feel like if I could explain this the best way to, you know, just pretty elementary to somebody, it's like you're playing a video game and like a Nintendo game, and you're on, you know, you played this game over and over and over and over again, and you start seeing things that you're like, that. You start seeing how the video game works and this and that. And then you start, for some reason, the video game's getting old and the graphics are starting to fall apart.
Right.
And that's what I feel.
That's a great metaphor, dude.
Dude, that's how reality is. That's what I feel is happening right now. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, the pixels are showing. Yeah.
Yes.
That's perfect.
And that's where we're at. But what comes next?
Something, you know, awesome.
So you feel, yeah. So. It's obviously a time that's coming. Like if you had a crystal ball, right? I like to ask a lot of my guests this when we're closing out. If you had a crystal ball, Owen, where do you see all this going in the next 5, 10 years? You know, do you see an event horizon, a massive event horizon coming to shake up humanity further? Do you see a dimensional shift? Do you see it just being cut and dry? I don't believe we can coexist the way we are now. I think with AI coming, there's going to be people with the spiritual discernment and the people that fall into this AI trap. Where do you see humanity going, and what do you think is going to happen? Do you think an event is going to come to completely shift humanity more? How do you see this playing out?
I think the lies are going to get more outrageous and more dangerous. And I think the non-lies will become more exciting and more localized and more analog for people. For example, I have the app, Bertari Times, the social media app, and it's pretty small, but it's pretty sweet. And people, we call it the good, the true, the beautiful, where there's no politics, there's no data collection, there's no arguing. It's just people are just posting what they're growing and what they're building and all this stuff. And I think on a local level, people will see how awesome the world is. And, when I first realized that every tomato has 100 seeds to make 100 more tomato plants, which makes 100
Every
more
single
tomatoes.
one.
What's that? Every single tomato is 100 tomato plants. And I was like, because I'd just been buying tomatoes for like $5 a tomato. It was like depressing. And I'm just like, and then I realized why they try and make them infertile with no seeds in it, like watermelon and stuff. And I'm like, dude, this one tomato, I wrote an article for it. It was called like the infinite tomato glitch or something. And it just can just go forever. And I'm like, oh man, I start seeing my children as future labor and future everything. I'm like, oh, by doing something extremely pleasurable with my wife, I now have another worker here. And I'm like, I just keep seeing how like locally everything is like. And before, when the lies weren't as exposed, I couldn't see this stuff. I would look more towards, oh, what's Henry Kissinger going to do? Is the petrodollar going to last or all that? And now I'm just like, I see all the potential, but it's all local. So I think the big picture, where I think it can get to a place that it's horrifying with AI pods and stuff. I think that it's like, but I think that you kind of get what you want. So if people want to be afraid and they want to live, and they want to think that they're in control of the universe, well, then it's going to get darker and darker. And then for people that are okay with not being in control and being like what you said about novelty is very interesting. It's in because I think about that word a lot, where you're okay with surprises and inspiration just coming to you. I think life is going to get better and better. I see more synchronicities. I see more just like it's crazy. Like something, I'll be like stressed about something. And then it'll just be solved in a way that's like, it's insane. It'll be just like, I'll just get a piece of mail and boom, it's solved. It's like, I see that stuff more and more as I also see like the big stage getting more ridiculous,
Yeah, and so someone, I think it was Stuart Swerdlow that I brought on my program that said AI is the answer to everything, and quantum is the speed in which the answer of everything comes, which will be instantly, which we're headed into that. But I feel like through God and through intuition and through our own instincts, that already happens. That's the available
Yes,
to
man.
us,
Yeah, it's like they're always short. So even if it's instant compared to the lower bit rate that we were just talking about, like a Nintendo to Sega to whatever, like how the pixelations are changing, it's still not as instant as the actual realm, where it's like, they're always mimicking Ethernet. Well, the ether is space, or
I
like
was just
the
gonna
iCloud.
say that.
It's like what we just had is a synchronicity where it's like those things like don't it it does there it's not separated by space and time, and it's like it just is happening instantly. And so they're always trying to get as close as they can. That's why I don't think AI is ever going to be conscious, because it's like only God can make life. So it's like it'll get extremely close to appearing like it's alive. But it's Frankenstein's monster, and this is as old as time. This is what the wizards deal with every round. They try and animate a corpse with lightning, and they end up just getting syphilis or something.
It's the human discernment is going to win all of this. That's it.
Yes.
That's what it is. And I feel like we are each, if we're not plagued with this stuff here, which I don't like to say it on YouTube, but we are antennas into the Ethernet. We are nodes of consciousness, God's tentacles, right? And I just feel like we are already connected to this this hyperspeed Ethernet with God, that it's all of this stuff is just to keep us trapped down here more and more in this three-dimensional realm of just what they want to create as this alternate reality that keeps us away from our connection from God.
Yeah, totally. And the first time I ever didn't fear death, it's not like I would ever want to die. And I do fear death in the sense of like leaving my kids without me, and that's just horrifying or whatever. But when I realized that their main goal is to avoid death, I kind of extrapolated that means death isn't what we think it is, you know, where I'm like, they'll do anything to stay in this realm, and they're wrong about everything. So it's like, at that point, I'm like, why do you want to stay here so bad? And then it's like, and then you realize that life has a fairness to it, and all the pain we've been through and humiliations and realizations and all that stuff. It's like a training ground where it's like, for what, you know? And then I just, those are moments when I'm like, oh, everything's okay, you know?
I just think that this goes back to the Bible, and I think this is the war with God, you know, and I think that's what they're doing. And I think ego, you know, edging God out, right? That's what they always said. I feel like their ego to them is they want to become their own gods. They want to outdo God. They want to outperform God. They want to become their own gods, be in charge of the destiny. They can't accept that maybe, you know, to them, they can't accept that there is a superior consciousness, super consciousness God that we should be humble to, right? And that's 100%. How I feel it. And ego is the enemy, dude. And that's what the Luciferians thrive on.
And that's what Israel means, is to wrestle with God. And it's like, I'm blessed to have a couple real base Jews in my life, as well as some real wacky ones. And there's two ways of looking at that, where like to wrestle with God is a humbling experience. And that's how some Jews view it, where it's like to be continuously humbled. Or, you know, you get into that double down, triple down road of like not accepting that you've been humbled, and that leads to madness.
And now we're going to cheat death and create transhumanism. And,
right.
You know, you got to think, what are they so scared of? You know, like they don't want to surrender that soul to the, you know, to God, you know, and are you afraid of? You know, so that's where I go with this. Owen, I want to say thank you for joining me, man. You have been in a hell of a podcast.
This is a blast, man. I love this convo, man. This has been great.
You are welcome anytime, bro.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah. So where do people find you, man?
So yeah, when I was kicked off YouTube, I built ladle.tv, which is where I have all my podcasts and everything I've ever made. And I have my own servers and all that stuff. So if you want to subscribe to that, it's $9.11 a month, because I wanted to make it so it was funny every time it was charged. So like, if you get a bill, it just says 9/11 on it. And so, and then I got the book out. It's a bestseller on Amazon right now, called How to Slay a Wizard. Check that out. And I teach classical piano too, courses.owenbenjamin.com.
And that's you play classical piano, dude?
Yeah.
Damn, bro. That's props to you. I've always wished I could play. Gosh, I always wish I could play the piano. Would you say Lego?
Ladle. It's like you're ladling gravy, like you're ladling info.
How do you spell it?
It's LADLE.TV.
LADLE?
Yeah, ladle. Yeah, it's funny. I had to like picture it in my head. LADLE.TV.
LAD.
Dude, want to hear something funny? Is I suck at spelling because I think there's tricks in it. Like I was having a fight with a buddy where it's like, okay, I before E except after C in 30 random times. I'm like, that's wizard stuff, man. Yeah. They're trying to get you to submit.
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely. Owen, stay with me just for a moment.
Okay.